The Iraqi parliament, which ruled that any attempt by treacherous elements to enter any kind of relationship with the illegal Zionist entity could end in lifetime prison sentences or even the death penalty, called on parliaments of Arab and other Muslim countries to follow the Iraqi lead by passing similar legislations that meets the aspirations of their people. The law will apply to the whole of Iraq, including the autonomous Kurdish region in the north, where some traitors have allowed Israeli regime agents to infiltrate the region, resulting in retaliatory action by the Islamic Republic of Iran, which a couple of months ago targeted a Zionist base in Erbil with a fierce barrage of missiles. Now, say the Iraqi people. Preachers, politicians, and the PMU, Popular Mobilization Units, with one voice. Tehran should rest assured, since the message from Baghdad is the same. The destruction of Israel is the expression of the people's will. It should be noted that the father of the Islamic Revolution, who during his 14-year exile in the holy city of Najaf in Iraq had been an inspiration for the Iraqi people as well, along with his popularity in Iran, had famously said, "If the billion-plus Muslims of the world were to each pour a bucket of water, Israel, the cancerous tumor," as he was the first one to brand it and call for its weeding out, "will definitely drown." Following the triumph of the Islamic Revolution and Iran's handing over of the Israeli embassy in Tehran to the Palestinian revolutionaries, Imam Khomeini had designated Jum'at al-Wida, or the Farewell Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan, as World Quds Day, to breathe new life into the struggle for the liberation of Palestine after Egypt's Anwar Sadat had signed the treasonous Camp David Accord with the Zionist regime. The World Quds Day rallies, which were banned by Saddam of the repressive Ba'ath minority regime, are now held all over Iraq in solidarity with the people of Palestine, Lebanon, Iran, Yemen, Pakistan, and conscientious masses worldwide, including the Christians of the West and the Orthodox Jews, who regard the creation of Israel as a violation of the fundamental tenets of Judaism. This year's road rallies on Ramadan's last Friday in Tehran and other cities of Iran, held after a two-year gap because of the coronavirus pandemic, saw millions of Iranians burning the Zionist flag and calling for eradication of Israel, despite the diplomatic relations that reactionary regimes in the Persian Gulf have established with Tel Aviv. In Baghdad and other Iraqi cities, huge road rallies were also held on World Quds Day in support of the Palestinian people. And now, passing of the legislation criminalizing normalization and establishment of relations with the Zionist entity is expected to accelerate the fast approaching end of terrorist racist Israel. The Iraqi government should now take the boldest step of implementing the pending legislation of Parliament calling for withdrawal of all U.S. occupation forces from Iraqi soil.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Well, this is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoint, and here I am your host. This is Asma. And I'm very pleased to have two very dear guests, Brother Ali and Sheikh Ruhullah. And previously we talked about death and the following issues related to it. And now, since it was a very interesting topic, we couldn't live it. So we are following that discussion right now. A human being has got, as far as we know, has got two dimensions, the physical part and the metaphysical part, which is the soul. And we agree upon that fact. Now, the question is, the experience that these people have in their life, a sort of virtual death before the actual death, and they have the chance to come back and retell their stories. How could we justify these experiences? Are they hallucinations? Are they illusions, or they're just actual things?
Actually, we cannot call them illusions. They might be true and might not be true, because we cannot actually verify the experiences of others. I cannot verify and approve your own experiences, and you cannot
exactly
do the same for me. So we have been advised by Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, the peak of eloquence, to think of death before you die. And you see, throughout the Nahj al-Balagha, we see lots of recommendations of Imam, that Imam very delicately and accurately defines how this transition is going to happen. And when we think about these, let's say, recommendations, something might even come to the pupil. When you think too much about something,
yes,
that come, it might even come to yourself.
Yes, yes.
See? And
that's why some people call it illusion, because they say you think too much about something, you focus upon it, and that happens to you.
Yeah, I've heard in the biography of Sayyid Al-Qadi rahmatullah alayhi, that he once asked that, he has been asked about such issues, that where do you know these issues, and where did you experience such things? He said, while I was in graveyards studying Nahj al-Balagha, and those phrases of Imam about the death and reminding the life after this life.
That's going into the depth of each line.
Yeah. So talking about the reality of such experiences, yes, they might be real. I mean, they are not illusions, but to say that if this experience is true or not, this is not our area of experience. We cannot at least do that. Allah knows best.
But to some point, they have got some realities inside.
Definitely.
Them.
But when we see that a person comes and talks about his experiences, and they are really, he knows of what others do not know, but then that, and when they refer to the issue, then they see that, no, whatever he said was exact. You see, whatever he explained, I mean, about an issue that he has even never himself witnessed, we see that he actually defined it with the details of
exactly
that issue. So it means that something happened. When you are told that, for example, you have a person in your family with such and such, let's say, characteristics, while you know that the other side who's talking to has no idea of who you are.
Yes.
So you might come to understanding that, okay, there is something. Okay, even they can come even from different sources. We are not going to actually accept whatever is coming to us. So there is a possibility of some of this information coming from wrong, let's say, activities.
Yes.
Wrong, let's say, wrong practices.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to the extent that we are talking about the experiences of those people who passed this life, and not completely, because we might come, you might ask, like, okay, how is it like? Did they die? Yes, they did. They actually passed this life, but not completely, because if they die, they cannot come back.
You mean their soul has been separated from their body?
Definitely. The soul can be separated, even as the brother said, for even some of our scholars and mystics of Islam world, we know that even they willingly and unwillingly can separate their souls from their body. It's not a big deal. So based on the even there are some practices that they do, and they actually exercise some, let's say, some rituals, and
yes.
They reach to this this power that they can willingly depart from their body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a big deal.
Yes, that's very true. So we hear most of these people who have such experiences, they say that I saw my soul in another dimension. I mean, I saw my body, but I was not in that body. So they give credit to that point that the separation of soul from the body does happen. Now, the question is that how do they get to have those experiences in which he or she says that I have this ability to understand the language of others without talking to them? I would get to know plenty much of things without having to go inside their skin or talking to them or chit-chatting with them. So they talk about some special, unbelievable things that I would love to know your points about it.
Yeah, of course. Let me add a few points to what were mentioned by Brother Alavi. That is that we cannot call these kind of experiences as a kind of complete illusion. Because, you see, sometimes these kind of people who've had these sort of experiences, they talk about their forefathers. You know, for example, some of them talk about, for example, about their grandfathers or grandmothers. So while they have not seen them or they have not seen
yes.
them.
And they
then
have
their
no
fathers,
idea about the
yeah,
people.
Of course.
Some
and
of
then,
the people they talk about.
And then their
about,
fathers
no
or their uncles or their mothers admit that, yeah, what you're telling about them, that's completely true. The characteristics, the features of that person. So, and also sometimes they tell the doctors, the nurses, that so you were there and those things were happening around me. That person was there.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them, when they examine, when they assess these kind of sayings, they found it completely true. So it since it is repeated and many people from different cultures, different societies say the same things, share the same kind of experiences, so at least we can say that it could not be illusion.
Yes, and
yeah.
I told you the
yes.
features they talk about, some of the features are very alike.
Yeah, of course.
Like
yeah.
the separation of the soul, like they could see their body, but
yeah, of course.
They and like they touch things, but they cannot
yeah.
actually touch them.
Yeah, when it comes to your question that how is it possible to understand something, to perceive someone's ideas without having any kind of means of communication by language?
Yes, it
there's
seems
no
like
word,
a magic.
Yeah. yeah, there's no word, there's no language. Of course, since ilm or knowledge from the Islamic perspective, the nature of ilm is also, again, immaterial. It is mujarrad. It's
yes.
called understanding. Is something mujarrad that happens. It's immaterial. It is not something physical. It's not something bodily, I mean.
It's
so,
not tangible or vivid.
Of course, yeah. So that is why it is possible to perceive something without having these kind of sensory kind of perception. I mean, by the sensations, without sensations. Directly you can understand something because there is a connection between mujarradat, between immaterial realities.
So as soon as the soul departs the body, these
mm-hmm.
things happen to it.
It might happen even when your soul is inside your body. Again, it is possible to happen. And also, the point that I should add here is that I think in these kind of experiences, near-death experiences, the complete separation or departure of the soul does not happen. I think still soul has some kind of connection or control over the body.
Yes.
If the departure or if the separation, once it's completed, then it is impossible for the soul to get back to the body.
Uh-huh. So that's the point. It is not
point,
completely
yeah.
separated
complete
from
death,
the body.
Yeah. When a complete death happens, it is impossible for the soul to come back.
Then how come they could go to heaven or to hell? They see things like that.
Of course, as I told you, even it is possible that a person who is alive, if according to some of the scholars like Sheikh Ishraq, like many other mystics, they are of the view that if you purify your soul, if you perfect your soul, then you become able to perceive those sort of things that no one can see, no one can experience. Yeah. There is a very famous, a well-known kind of nice poem, which is said, in Farsi, it is said, Chashm dil baz kun ke jaan bini, anjana didanist an bini.
So, open the eyes of your heart.
Yeah, yeah, of course. To see those sort of things that no one can see. Mm. So it is possible. It's not something so much shocking
so
or strange.
So it does not require the complete separation of the soul
from
the body.
Yeah, it does not require. Even when you're alive, even your soul, if it is inside the body, it's possible for you to perceive these sort of things.
So that's very interesting. Yeah. Now, speaking of the experiences they have in, they see a kind of, I don't know how to put it, stages of heaven or hell. How do you explain those things?
What do you mean?
We talked about the separation of the soul from mm-hmm. the body,
yeah.
and we said that it does not happen completely.
Yeah.
So how is it they see hell and heaven, and they could have some experiences from the other world?
Yeah. Look, as I said earlier, in case we bring up our souls and spirits in the way that we have been asked, we can even do it, visit hell and heaven before we leave and we depart from this world.
But that's very unbelievable.
This is called
Alam al-Ghayb.
Alam al-Ghayb, because we have been told, and this is among our worldview and ideology that we believe it. Because... What what is it that we are asked that mutu qabla an tamutu? What does it mean? Because we need to experience. This is a famous quote by Ayatollah Bajat that he says, the person who has not experienced hell and heaven before he departs, he experienced nothing in his world, in this world. So what does it mean? It means that you need to experience. So does it actually bring us a duty to go and just to work on this separation of soul? No. If we keep piety and taqwa and be pious, slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows us such things. You know, these are the natural outcome of piety.
Mm-hmm.
A person who actually cares for whatever is haram and whatever is wajibat and muharramat, whatever is compulsory and whatever is forbidden, naturally they are the outcome of such practices of taqwa. So, what is the quality and quantity of it? This is something that, since we have not experienced, we might not know about
it's
that.
It's the unknown.
But it is something that it does exist. Because we know that some people do that and they can actually easily depart. And they can depart their soul from their body and they can go and experience. I don't know if you have heard of the flight of the soul.
Yes.
This is common even in non-Islamic and even non-Western cultures that they do agree. They can go and see an area and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So when you started going, as soon as your soul started going and flying towards different directions, so there is no border
possible.
For that.
Yes.
There is no border for that. And when we are talking about hell and heaven, it is not something that, for example, we are going to another world and that hell and heaven are there. Hell and heaven is here with us.
Within us.
Manifestation of our good actions is heaven. Manifestations of our bad actions and, let's say, conducts are hell. So it is in this world with us, in the same world that we are. So it is not something, another world that, okay, after this, let's say, world, we are going to fly and we are taken and we are...
Our
bodies or souls are going
journey.
To be taken to another world. No, it is here with us. So we need just to open our eyes and to see what is and exist.
The curtains must go away.
And the curtains must go away, exactly.
So now, I'm sorry just to interrupt you. We're running out of time. We have to have a very wrap-up situation in which I will tell you that we're speaking of death and the separation of the soul from the body. And we talked about some very interesting stuff. Thank you for listening to us.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you to doubt you would be the the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. How about listening to some bezels of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. No one should be regarded as trustful before he keeps three things: funds, secrets, and honors. He who keeps two and betrays a third is not trustful.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The annual Vivid Life Festival has returned to Sydney after being cancelled 2 years in a row due to the coronavirus pandemic. The event kicked off with fireworks and lighting the sails of the Sydney Opera House. Iconic structures like the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Museum of Contemporary Art Australia are part of a series of new canvases this time around. As an added treat, the 2022 festival also has the longest continuous light walk in the history of the event. Plus, this year's highlights include a choreographed light show by 600 drones. Both residents and tourists have been anticipating the return of this show.
I saw it about 8 years ago, I think, and it's just got better and better, as far as I can tell. I mean, the Opera House is the most amazing canvas possible to project, this just amazing digital artwork. The vibrancy of it, the colour of it, the animation of it, the explosiveness of it, the colour just bursts out in just amazing ways. That the snakes, the chameleons, the lizards crawling across it.
The Harbour City will glow with 50 light installations, DD projection artworks, as well as over 100 musical events. Vivid Sydney is an annual festival that lasts for 23 nights, infusing art, innovation and technology while collaborating with boundary-pushing artists. In 2019, the festival attracted millions of attendees. The event is owned and managed by the Tourism and Major Events Agency of the Government of New South Wales. Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by 6 centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4 meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial Alersi. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Borichevich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer, native to Chile and Argentina, and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters.
The world's oldest living man has just turned 113 years and says he's going to be around at least 10 more years. Good for him. Born on May the 27th, 1909 in Venezuela, Juan Vicente Perez Mora is still in pink of his health and memory and does not take medication. He has no trouble recalling his childhood marriage and the names of his siblings, children and grandchildren. He has 41 grandchildren, by the way. So what is the secret behind a long life? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, love for God, and always carry him in your heart. The Guinness World Records declared Perez Mora the oldest living person last week. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years. Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in the town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a wildflower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's woodblocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of a thick sheet of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. Then ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province. but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is a 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, five deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past six decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Yusuf Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bears' living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters,
Salaam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relation.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. You brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful for having you. And every day I pray that you'll find your way. You know I love.
Today, Monday, is the 28th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of the month of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of a special chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter الكوثر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إنا أعطيناك الكوثر.
Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, Al-Kawthar.
فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ.
So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone.
إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ.
Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Occasion of revelation. Asa ibn Wa'il, who was one of the chiefs of the pagans, met the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. He spoke with him for a while. In the meantime, a group of men were sitting in the mosque when Asa ibn Wa'il entered the mosque. They asked him, "To whom were you speaking?" He answered, "With this Abtar one." He used this word for the Prophet to taunt him, because he had two sons born of Lady Khadija who died in Mecca, and so there was no live male issue from the Prophet. Now, what is the meaning of Abtar? Abtar means the animal whose tail is cut off. To console the Holy Prophet, this surah was revealed with the glad tidings of the greatest amount of the highest degree of the grace of Allah bestowed on him. The topic of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio is father-daughter relation. Fathers can make such a difference in their daughters' lives, but often girls are overlooked as fathers develop special bonds with their sons. Fathers are the first male that the girl knows, and the relationship with him sets the tone for all male-female relationships she will have in the future. Fathers are role models for their daughters. If you were raised in an atmosphere where the roles for men and women were different, some of those stereotypes will strive prevail. It can be difficult to break free from old habits and social norms, even when you know it's the best thing for your child. It is hard work, but it is entirely possible. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. This is, of course, a duty of fathers to know how to treat their wives and how to treat their daughters. From a psychological point of view, we find that, daughters want to discuss very minute and detailed issues, in contrast to boys and sons, who are like very much like men, who talk about, very important issues and very, critical, for example, topics like politics, economics, or, for example, relations between countries and so on. In contrast to boys and sons, we find that girls and daughters are usually concerned with very delicate and very minor issues, like, for example, apparent beauty, or, for example, clothes, or, for example, type of lifestyle, or, for example, shoes and so on. Or, for example, how to decorate, one's own room or home and so on. Fortunately, in the Iranian calendar, the birth anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Masum Salamullah Alayha has been named as Day of Girls, or Girls' Day. At the same time, we find that on such a day, the practice of many families where fathers give some gifts to their own daughters, we find that in such condition, this is a reminder for men to respect their own families.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
This part is for fathers. What do you need to know about raising daughters? A daughter needs her father to be actively interested in her life. Actively interested does not refer to the second long conversation that sometimes happens between a father and daughter when he asks how her day went and she replies with one word. A father should participate in his daughter's hobbies and activities by displaying interest. For example, if she is interested in collecting coins, take her to coin shows. Use the internet to learn about rare coins and talk about them. Is your daughter talented in any sport, such as volleyball? Whether she wants to play or just enjoys watching the games, become an enthusiastic fan and supporter. Show your daughter that you are interested in her life by learning more about it and trying to become a part of it.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب.
This part to all the daughters, listen carefully. A father helps define your future relationship. a woman's relationship with her father and her father's relationship with her mother shapes her expectations for a future positive relationship with her husband. A woman's choice of a husband consciously and unconsciously depends on her father. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "Daughters are blessings and sons are graces. You will be rewarded for the blessings and ask about the graces."
Today, like if we see most women that become successful in politics, like presidents or prime ministers, they're probably, most of the time, read in a study, that they were the only child. They never had brothers, so the father showed them all the affection and gave her all the strength she needs. So she reached that position of becoming a president or a prime minister. Female athletes that become, you know, world known. They didn't have brothers, and their fathers gave all they could to their daughters. You know, as we saw in the Olympics, one gymnast, a female gymnast, could earn, you know, over 15 medals, more than what men are earning in the Olympics. And that's because of the support her father gave her. As fathers, the main Your mission should be that your daughter's first love shouldn't be someone else. Your daughter's first love shouldn't be Justin Bieber. Your daughter's first love shouldn't be, you know, I don't know who. Your daughter's first love should be you as her father.
Yeah.
You should be that strength that she needs, that shadow that she needs, that protection that she earns for. You have to be her first love and her absolute love. Even when she gets married, because of the love and affection you showed her, your love should stay superior.
Definitely.
Because no one will take care of your daughter better than you.
Yeah.
No man will treat your daughter better than you as a father. Mm-hmm. So if you mistreat your daughter, she'll be mistreated. If you don't show her love, the first person that comes in, you know, says something nice to her, she's going to grab onto that and think that's love.
That was interesting topic. The topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.